wheelbarrow across the Niagara was a rather foolish idea, wasn't it? Likewise, to say to a tree, be removed into the sea where it couldn't live. What's the idea? It's a rather puzzling thing, isn't it? But to hear it, the one truth is this, to illustrate the power of simple faith. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, a very tiny seed, the vital strength here is not in the quantity of faith, but just that you have it in its quality of total commitment. It is a paradox here. Who wants to plant a, what this is a sort of a black mulberry bush. Who wants to plant such a thing in a seed? Jesus says, well, that's an impossible thing. But if you've got faith, you can do impossible things. It's almost a caricature as he takes it to the extreme and says, why, the right kind of faith can do this. If you have faith, nothing with you that is of value, that has worth in the kingdom, is impossible. Then he goes on to show how this faith works. Does he not, Roland?
Yes, he once said, ye have not because ye ask not. Well, when we see a thing that needs to be done, we ought to approach it with the thought that this can be accomplished with God's help. This is the kind of faith that God's asking for us. This is what happened to the early Christians who were followers of Jesus. When he was crucified, they hid in an upper room, scared to death. But after the resurrection, they were no longer fearful, afraid individuals, but they went out into the known world. Men such as Thomas, for example, who even doubted, becomes a great Christian leader under this new banner of leaving their timid fear behind them and going forth in the faith of a risen Christ. Browning it was who said, a man's reach exceeds his grasp, or what's a heaven far? We think of men like Albert Schweitzer, who worked for Christ down in the darkest of Africa, far before modern civilization ever reached down there. He had a faith that was big enough to overcome whatever the needs were. This is the thing that God offers to you and me. We can rise above what we are today if we have a faith in Christ.
Right? Now, these next verses, 7 through 10, Jesus uses an interesting relationship here about the servant who merely does his duty, and therefore no thanks particularly is coming from the master. And I think the emphasis, of course, as our panel seems to think and agree, that the emphasis, of course, is that we as Christians at least ought to do what's traditionally known as going the second mile. I'd like for them to discuss this matter of whether it's going to be mere duty or duty which we enjoy performing.
Actually, Clyde, this is at the heart of the teachings of Jesus, isn't it? He talked a great deal about the second mile, and that really the thing that should prompt us in doing our work well is not because we have to do it out of obligation, but out of the love, the desire, the wants of our life. We want to do something that's fine and that's good and that's noble. To go the second mile with a person is to do more than duty demands of us. And all the things of life that are really valuable are in the realm of the unenforceable. We look about our community, the things we have, the churches, the art museums, the hospitals, a lot of things that we have here are here because no one enforces us to have them, but because we want them here. The things that are fine and they're good in human character, personality, are not the things that any law can impose upon us, but because out of our heart we are motivated, we desire to be a better person. Thus we become good. What is the descriptive phrase then, or picture that he uses here, Albert?
Well, this is an Oriental picture with sharp contrast to times of our day. There were slave conditions. A slave comes in, and he's worked hard all day. The master doesn't say, "Night, well done, lie down, go to sleep." He says, "Come on, get my dinner. Take care of me." And as if it's harsh and cruel. Remember the story in its day, and then remember that this is not a picture of God. Jesus said, "Our Father is more ready to give than we are to receive." It shows not how God deals with us, but our attitude to God and His service. As Clyde so well says, as he says in most of these things, this is the going of the second mile out of the warmth of our heart, because we love the kingdom and love the King and want to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not like some so-called Christians who quit when the going is hard. There are other facets to this truth, are there not, Lord?
Yes, we say readily that mother's work is never done. Being a Christian is never done either. Jesus said, love your enemies. How much farther that is in walking this second mile. We have to go way out in order to be Christians, or we aren't fulfilling what God has said. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my all, everything. Clyde?
Thank you, Pan, and if each one of you can confine your closing statements to 10 seconds, I'll let you have 10 seconds.
I think the whole matter is a matter of motive. What is it that motivates us? Is it love?
In Vermont, I saw a grave. All it had on it was this. She did what she could. It's wonderful, isn't it, if we just do that?
I believe that I can. Therefore, with God's help, I can.
Thank you very much, panel. I think you have given an interesting and helpful and informative lesson, particularly in dealing with some very difficult passages to understand. But I think the truth is evident in this teaching. If we want to be expected to be acceptable to God in the big things, we ought to start being completely faithful in everything. So we'll see.
No.
It was just about out until we had this last cold spell. Now, how much it puts back, I don't know.
He gave the ground is where the church is on. And he said, I believe a place is a better place for having a church in it. So he must have believed, mustn't he? Mm-hmm. Somebody said to me once, they never had met a genuine atheist.
Yes.
But I guess there are plenty of them today.
Miss Anna, I think a lot of the atheists are just put out of the church, or the church members, you know, how they do, people do.
Even Tom Paine, you know, said, if there was a God, he said two or three times that way. And he left room for doubt in as to his own beliefs. In other words, he wasn't a confirmed atheist.
Well, of course, those of us who've been raised in the church wonder how it can be that anybody don't believe.
It's easier to understand an agnostic than it is about an atheist.
Yes.
To say, I don't know. We've been studying a Sunday school lesson, a series of lessons, the mystery of the presence of Christ. And this author, one of the things he says to start off with is that he says nearly all of us are pilgrims going to non-belief or coming back from non-belief to belief. We're in that little veil in between.
Yes.
We're not absolutely certain.
Yes. That may be true. That program was perfectly wonderful. I enjoyed it so very.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Well, they're the old reliables again.
Yes. Old reliables. And they are so firm in their belief. I love that young Dr. Blackburn of the Methodist Church.
He grows on me, Miss Anna. At first, I thought he was a little simple, and I didn't enjoy him too much, but I've changed considerably.
Oh, I think he's so sweet and lovely and so sincere.
Yeah.
He just seems a little boy.
Well, you thought that all along.
Well, I knew his brother, Henry Blackburn. He was the one that influenced my daughter to go to Southern College. And I knew Dr. Henry Blackburn. And I think he was once minister of the Gainesville Church. And then he was half presiding elder, Dr. Henry Blackburn.
Yeah. This man is more knowledgeable, too, than I thought. He just doesn't display it or something.
But they are so sure. They speak about heaven as their home. How wonderful it is.
Yes.
How satisfied.
We ought to have them around, Miss Anna, to talk to now and then. You see, they can talk about things that...
Yes. Mr. Morris don't even come to see me now. And my own minister lives in Gainesville, Dr. Newberg.
What I notice about these four ministers, they're so harmonious. They seem to get along so well. You'd think they all belong to the same church.
Yes,
sir. That's right.
Yes. Well, I don't think our names much make much difference.
Less and less.
What did somebody wanted to know? Who are those people running around in heaven? They said those were the Methodists. Well, where are the Presbyterians? No, the Methodists were locked up. It was a Lutheran girl that told this story. Said it would tickle me. And where were the Baptists? Well, they said they were coming up by the water route. They had a place resolved, and the Methodists were locked up. Well, said he would be going around. They said those are the Presbyterians because they're the only ones the Lord can trust.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that. I'm not an obedient Presbyterian. But I was raised in that church. My father was an elder, and his church came first, and then his family.
Mm-hmm.
I had two fine parents. We never had any money, but they had both been educated. My people of refinement. And when we came to Florida, Mr. Hurley, we had to read by a lamp with the old mosquitoes bothering us. But he would read to us Walter Scott, Milton, Shakespeare. That those are the books we brought from South Carolina. Mm-hmm.
That's rich heritage.
Of course, he taught us in the Bible. I can remember so many passages. He was fond of the Old Testament, too. Yes, sir, it is. My mother was educated in Columbia, South Carolina, at a French lady's school, Madame Sosnowski's. No, how I wish people, young people, could appreciate the educational advantages they have now. How wonderful they are. Have you any idea who will be president of the University of Florida?
I hadn't thought, Miss Hannah. Just never crossed my mind.
I suppose they are looking for one all around.
Yes, sir.
When did his resignation take effect, or when will it take effect?
I don't read till September, does it?
Somewhere along the summer.
He's a frail man. And I guess it is maybe too hard for him. He was next door neighbor to my son when he was just Dr. Wright of the university. They were awfully good friends. And Dr. Lucius Hale lived on the other side of Harry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess changes have to be made.
That's one thing it's sure, isn't it? Change.
Yes, yes, a change.
Miss Hannah, I remember I've been thinking I'd ask Miss Edna. I heard her talking about it once. Do you remember what they used to say about this, about the old mansion house, they called it, that was over in front of Clearwater Pond? That was, you know, back of the house there. Now, she said when she was first came here, when she was a little girl, they went to parties over there.
Yes, sir. I think it was built by Mr. Christopher.
Mr. Christopher, yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah.
He married a Mrs. Welch.
Yeah.
That was old enough for his mother.
Uh-huh.
But she had young children, and they did have parties over there. When we first came to Florida, my children loved to go through the woods down there to Clare Pond.
Yes.
What a beautiful pond.
It didn't have all those old houses in it then?
No. No, sir. They'd go fishing there.
Mm-hmm.
One afternoon, my brother Rob and there were two of my brothers, I know. No, Rob wasn't even born. And I forget, I'm so old, I forget. But anyhow, there were two of my family that went over there fishing. And we had an old horse, Beth, that they drove to the buggy. And, it was a terrible rain, a terrible storm. And they got in the buggy to come home. And a stroke of lightning came right down in front of them. And old Beth fell down. And there, we were just crazy about them. They didn't come, they didn't come. And finally we sent out folks to find, to hunt them. And old Beth had fallen. But they got her up and she brought them home. But there was an alligator in that pond too.
Yes.
It scared us.
I think there's some in there still.
An old nigger went out to kill some ducks and he killed a few and had to wade in, run after him.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost his footing and drowned. Old nigger preacher.
You know, that it's muck on the bottom. And you can get stuck up in that and lose your balance, you know.
Yes,
you
sir.
Can't straighten up again. I imagine that'd be easier to do in the shallow water than it is in the deeper.
We had one poor Negro that didn't have very good sense, but he was an awfully good fisherman. And he had a spill and fell out of the boat. And they found him with his head in the muck.
Yeah.
And his feet sticking out.
Oh, do you have epilepsy?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Over in that pond.
Over in that pond. No. No, it was in Orange Lake.
Orange Lake. The, that old cistern, you know, is still there, where the Christopher place was. It's rounded like a bowl, and the top is small. It's stone. And it's been preserved very well.
Where is that located?
Right back up there. You haven't seen that?
No. Mm-hmm.
That old oak tree there.
The water was so hard that we built systems to catch the rainwater.
Oh.
And we had our filter to charcoal, the system water, the rainwater. And the water in the cistern would be so cool.
And it was so soft, you could certainly get a lot of soap suds. Good.
Yes, sir.
And good to drink.
We had our well. Isn't such hard water. It's 160 feet deep, I believe.
Uh-huh. Do you?
We had a lovely windmill there until the storm broke it up.
Do you still, is that the well you use now?
So, that's the water we use.
Uh-huh.
We did away with our cistern.
Yeah.
It's still out there, you know, but we don't use any water out of it.
Uh-huh.
God, we'd better go over to the other place. They're expecting us.
Yes, I think we're going over to
Bob
a
Lee's
picnic.
Yeah.
Going to have a picnic?
Over to Bob Lee's on Wahlberg, Miss Anna.
On Wahlberg?
Yes.
You professors can go there.
No, this is a private place.
He owns his place there, on it.
Yes.
Bob Lee does.
I was there one year. My son Harry and his FFA students met there, and they had a lovely banquet one night, and I was invited. About the only time I've ever been to that clubhouse. But we used to go there every Sunday morning, every Easter morning, from sunrise. And I don't know if they still have it there or not.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful. It was beautiful.
Beautiful place.
Beautiful place, Sunday. Sun coming up over. It was lovely. We had some Easters that were not so bright. But I used to attend every one.
What's Freddie going to do for a little rain, Miss Anna?
Well, he's got his, you know, his watering concern.
Yes.
He just has to move it. He had it on his eggplants.
Yeah.
But his squash and his watermelons are both needed.
Yes. They'd come along mighty fast with a little water now.
Feed the rest of us.
He's been successful some years. Some years he hasn't. He's not quite 30 years old. But when he was, when he was about 12 or 13, there was a terrible hailstorm and ruined a lot of watermelons. Well, they used to ship, you know, by car roads. And there were lots that were not hurt that they shipped by car roads. But these that had been hit by the hail, they sold to trucks that came from Georgia and different parts. So one year, Mr. Christian that owned a good acreage. Ask Fred Wood if he would go out there and look after them, sell to the trucks. And Freddie went with him. Well, he couldn't have been more than 12 or 13 years old. But once when his father was in another part of the field, a truck came up and he sold him a load of watermelons.
That's pretty good. He's starting early, wasn't he?
He wanted to grow watermelons.
Yeah.
And he's grown some that were a benefit to him. Made him enough money to buy some land. But he loves it.
Well, that's good. Well,
and he's optimistic.
You have to be that to be a farmer, I guess.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, you certainly do. You have to have faith.
Miss Anna, I wish we didn't have to rush on off, but just have a nice little visit.
I am so glad to see Mr. Hurley.
Well, I'm just glad to see you.
I always ask about you.
Well, they slipped off the other day and came over here without me knowing that they were coming. I've been with them.
Did you get to go fishing?
Oh, yeah. I've been three or four times. Caught a few.
Down on that.
Well, Wahlberg and also over on Orange.
You didn't go deep sea?
No, I went down at Naples, but I didn't go out on the Gulf.
Our folks have caught some nice fish. Real nice fish. My second grandson loves fishing, and he caught a lovely bass not long ago.
Oh, did he fish right there?
Yes, Butch. I understand. He's quite a fisherman. Yes. I missed you at Sunday school last Sunday.
Sir?
I missed you at Sunday school last Sunday.
I missed you too. Mr. Hurley, I can just sit here and think. I'm glad God has been merciful and spared my mind. But poor Miss Richardson, got up and walked out to meet her. And she came shaking in the front door, and I came back out the front door. My horse. If I could just have a little more strength. But I don't. I just guess I'm lazy.
Miss Edna's leg a little wobbly.
Yes, sir. Her knees.
Knees.
That's the arthritis in her knees.
Uh-oh.
You've been mighty lucky not to have any broken bones, haven't you?
Yes, and I've fallen down several times. I said I was just too tough.
Well, don't be trying it to see how tough you are.
No, sir, I won't. A dear little Catholic lady came here one time after one of my falls, and she said the angels took charge of you. No, sir.
Yes, I enjoyed the visit.
And I did too. And Mr. Hurley?
Yes?
Come back to see me.
Well, I'll do that.
I'm so glad to see you.
Good to see you.
You've got company.
How
you, Miss Anna?
How
you
doing?
Huh? Shaking
hands.
You all have a...
Fine.
Fine, Miss Anna.
You were fine.
How you feel?
Well, I wish I could feel better, but I'm thankful the way I do feel, Liza.
That's nice.
Oh, okay. Chair right there, Miss Liza.
Right here.
Yeah. No step on Miss Anna's pretty.
No,
good.
I see.
She's got a different one. Look at that.
How many years have I known you, Liza?
Oh, I don't know, Miss Anna. I don't know. A long time.
Mary Kate, you're 42 years old, I believe.
Who has that spent the day with you?
Dora.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Oh. How many years ago that was either? That Dora came here from Georgia.
That's right.
With her children barefooted.
Barefooted?
Yes, and took with her. And she wanted to go back to Georgia and get her things and come and live here. And she said, Mr. Wood, if you would put some shoes on my children when I come back from Georgia, I'll go to the field for you. Well, he believed her. He took those three children and fitted the shoes on himself. And Dora has never forgotten it.
No, you know she had.
She never forgotten it. Her gratitude has been wonderful.
Do you ever hear that story, Miss Lyda?
I believe I have heard Miss Anna tell that before. Yeah. I believe I have.
He's a little lying to me before I ever knew him very well. And my aunt and our daughter came to visit me. And then we'd go out to see people. And I'd come home at night, there'd be plenty of wood in the back porch and a great big roaring fire. Dora never has forgotten me. Cheetah.
You know, Mr. Myers, I worked up here. Oh, when Butch was a baby, when he was born, I was working here with Miss Anna when he was born.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Now you put things up on your iron board.
And get underneath that plane, Miss Anna tells. Oh, move. Yeah, I said, well, I won't drop the iron on him. Let him play down there.
He was a cute little rascal.
He was.
He's a cute big one, too.
Oh, I declare he's taller than
he's the largest one in all his family.
He is.
You know, Jane's brother, Ash, is a big man, but Butch is taller than he is.
Well, he's taller than Mr. Fred.
Butch?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Taller than
well,
Freddy?
Seems to me like Freddy's growing tall some more, looks to me like. Is he? Freddy.
I don't know. Maybe she was straightening him out.
Sure, she can't do nothing to him.
I think it's the other way, Liza.
She can't do nothing.
I think he's depending a whole lot on Sue. Mm-hmm. He certainly has married a wonderful girl.
Yes, she's nice. She is nice.
She is. She's so capable. She's so sweet and kind.
And she likes to help him do anything that he does that she can do. She likes to help him.
She's been with him all day today.
What you doing today, Miss Anna?
Ash, Brent had to go to Gainesville this morning. And when Fred is laying his irrigating contraption down, and he needed Ash to help him.
Mm-hmm.
Ash generally helps him, you know, Saturday.
Yes, sir.
So he let Ash go, and Sue has been with him today, all day.
Yeah. And Ash had to go on, he had to go up to town.
Yeah, to march, something about the military stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. This is the end of school, Miss Anna.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
He is so anxious to get a good job, Ash. I'm afraid he's got the ability.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, I know he's honest. I know he's got not a bad habit.
Well, that's good.
You know, when he was a young boy, Jane told him to bring a package of cigarettes from the store. He said, Mama, I'm not going to do it.
Well, that's nice about him. He doesn't smoke.
No.
He doesn't smoke.
I plan.
Which smokes some. I don't think he smokes a great deal, but I know he smokes.
So?
Isn't good for him either.
No, smoking's not good for him. I'm after Mr. Fred all the time about smoking, but he just can't stop.
I don't know. Harry don't smoke.
He don't?
No. Harry never smokes a cigarette. He did smoke a pipe. But that pipe, look, it made a little sore on his lips.
And he stopped
and
that.
And he put the pipe away.
Mm-hmm.
The next time he tells you about being so healthy not going to the doctor, you tell him about Mr. Harry, because he don't go to the doctor either.
No.
Now, last time I was down there, Miss Liza told him that Robert didn't smoke. And Fred said yes, but he goes to the doctor all the time.
That's right.
Who is that?
Rob.
Rob Wood?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I've had those awful migraine headaches. And the other day, a wife ball stung him. And he was in such agony, he had to go to the doctor.
Well, I declare.
It all depends on where they hit you. That's all there is to it.
Sure no.
Oh, sir.
I don't believe I've ever had a wall stone. I don't believe I have. I don't remember.
Well, I have.
Yeah.
I've had. And a yellow jacket. Stung my mother one afternoon, and she almost had convulsions.
Yeah.
We had to send for a doctor. He said it hit her on the nerve.
Uh-huh. That was why.
Yes. A yellow jacket stung Fred right on the nose the other day.
Oh?
And BJ got a pair of tweezers and pulled the old sting out.
Oh.
Well, what do you know? Good for her.
Sure, good for her.
Mm.
She's a sweet little old girl, Liza.
Yeah, Miss Jean was telling me about her the other day. She said
fine
she was so proud of her.
Fine little girl.
She big.
Loves her music.
Yeah.
Well, plays every Sunday in the Sunday school.
She told me that.
She's big, Miss
Anne. Yes. Well, Anne's little girl is a society butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
She has all sorts of lovely evening dresses and dances and all like that. Fiji don't seem to envy her a bit.
Yeah.
She don't care for that.
I say, yes, I think BJ would love to go out a good deal more than she does.
Now, where are you going?
But.
What?
Fish too big.
Who is
that? Who is that, the baby?
That's him. Well, she
fell.
Honey, you better shut that front door.
You didn't get hurt, did
you? No, I don't think so. Want me to help you up?
Well, I heard my program a week ago. But last night...
Oh, I thought you done changed cars.
Yeah, it broke down, Fred.
Let me help you up, big shorty. Now, there you are.
Isn't he a fine boy?
Is anybody in the front lobby?
No, ma'am, I don't think. The door...
Is the front door shut?
Yes, ma'am. The door's closed.
Come here, Frederick.
Somebody.
I saw Fred go in there, honey.
Well, we're having a chat with the young lady.
Yes.
Ah.
Eliza, I hope my heart never will grow old. I'm old in my body.
Well, that's all right.
But I don't want to grow old because I love young people.
Well, that's good.
And I'm interested in them. I guess it's my love for these three children. Afraid that keeps me living.
That's right. I bet that's the truth, Miss Anna.
Butchie and Ash and Beezy.
Really, not too good these days.
Our Fred is
more than I can remember.
Got him a good profession, my Fred.
Mm-hmm.
He don't ever make anything, but he loves it.
That's good.
Ain't you gonna give us some money?
Sure I will.
You're not getting any wetter with that wind, either.
Wind's drying out so fast.
Father, Miss Eliza's setting.
Ma'am?
Miss Eliza's setting, and when she hatches, I'm going to follow up.
Oh, the hen. All right.
Father gave me a hen about 5 or 6 years ago, and I think she's raised 16 biddies.
Oh.
And she set it again, and as soon as she hatches, back to Eliza she goes.
Well, all right. Bring her in, Miss Eliza. Well, these girls down here, this in Jake's house, they'd be too glad to get them.
Well, tell them to come up here and have all four.
Well, I sure will tell them.
I don't want them.
What's
I'll
that, tell
them. Rooster, you she said.
Those little ones?
They're half bantam and half.
The big kind.
Uh huh.
Can't eat them?
I don't.
Yeah.
They're old, you know, they're aged. They're not young friars, they're
yardage. It would be good if it would be a chicken salad.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. Well, that's right.
Well, we can have a little chicken salad then.
We used to save our old roots for Christmas. Make the chicken salad.
Oh, is that right, Miss Anna? I don't think I've heard that.
We didn't know it was Christmas without chicken salad, too.
Oh.
Had a turkey and a ham.
Chicken salad.
I don't ever remember having chicken salad at Christmas.
I have had chicken salad.
Down here?
Sure.
Up the country?
No, yes, since I've been here.
We always had chicken salad at home, too.
Okay. He said, Mr. Meyer said, you don't remember ever having chicken salad. Christmas salad.
Chicken salad. All the time I remember that is in the summertime.
You know, the best chicken salad I ever ate, except Jan's, was in Kentucky. I had a beet biscuit and chicken salad.
Yeah, now.
In a restaurant up there.
Oh.
Frankfort, Kentucky. No, it was delicious.
I've eaten at some mighty fine restaurants up in Kentucky, Miss Anna. And they got cooking there as good as anybody's anywhere.
Yeah,
some of them good restaurants, you know.
I stayed about a week in Kentucky once. Took my little girl up there to Dr. Stewart's home. Place out from Frankfort. And, oh, it was the beautiful, most beautiful
vegetables.
Oh, that's a grand boy. That's a mighty fine boy.
He can talk lies, but say apple juice for lies.
He can.
Say apple juice.
Well, he won't say anything he wants.
Say apple juice. Say apple juice. Or say apple juice.
Where's Grandma? Huh? Oh, where's Grandmother? Where's Frederick?
That's
Nana. There he is. There's Frederick.
Where is Nanny? Point your finger. Where is Nanny?
Huh? He knows, but he just won't do it.
You see, Jane asked him. Jane called him Doll. And he said the other day, "Where's my doll?" He pointed to Butch. There he is. There he is.
Butch looks so funny. Uncle Butch said he wants the doll.
Was Jane how much was he?
34.5 pounds.
He certainly is heavy.
Solid as a doll.
Yes, sir. And his mama can pick him up and go on along with him just like a feather.
Yeah. They have to pick him up in town or he runs away.
Oh. Don't take him up there, Miss Jane. Something might happen to him.
I brought him from Pinney's. We were shopping in Pinney's, back to Pinney's parking lot, and I got him out the door and down the sidewalk and just sat down in the sidewalk when you get up.
Why, was he tired?
Oh, no, just gave out. Just
got
up there
in the
sidewalk.
Oh,
I'm clear.
So I had to lug him away.
I know you did.
Yeah. Fine, sweet little boy.
Where is Deegee?
Deegee
doesn't let him play
her
piano much
because
the
baby. Yeah, he kind of ruined the tune.
Yeah.
Doing that.
Jamie came in here and prayed with me a while. Then he had a little bottle in his hand and began to hit my hand with it.
Oh, he did.
And I told him it hurt. And I just said, Beegy, and away he ran. Beegy,
get
you. Come on, let's go look in the refrigerator. We might find
some apple juice. You want some apple juice? He
got a game going, I'd say.
Well, Jane has to shut it up. That's the way his mother does. She has to shut it up. When he gets up there, she can't get him away from him. She just goes to death.
That's what Beegy does.
Oh, that is she, yeah.
Miss Jane, he's too heavy.
Oh, Mama, he's heavy.
I know it.
Come on, Mama.
Mary Ann's been here.
Oh, she has.
Since yesterday morning. And so she's here.
She's still here. She's still here with you.
Yes, she's good help if she wants to be.
Well, I know she is. She's a good little cook.
Good cooking.
Miss Jane.
She irons and she can clean house.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Ann can do anything.
Yes, she can.
That, I say, is the notion takes.
But the notion don't take, she can't do anything.
I tell them they all like the little girl that had the little curl. When they can do, it's fine. But when they won't do, it's not so good.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Myers, now this is something you brought for Miss Anna to hear.
Yeah, you want to hear it?
That's one of the ministers here.
Dr. Blackton is Methodist of he's of the First Christian Church, First Methodist Church in Jacksonville.
Uh-huh.
And Dr. Kissing is.
This was a very crucial and important time in the life of the church. The Spirit of God had come as He had promised that He would come. The importance of Pentecost is something that we think about and talk about and have always kept uppermost in our minds, because this was a day when God put His stamp of approval with this power on His people. There are certain things of interest about it, certain things that happened because of the coming of the Spirit. Tell us about these.
Well, for one thing, great, it tells us that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in tongues, and the Spirit gave to them utterances. Now, this was a tremendous supernatural phenomenon, but to me the important thing was not the fact that it was unusual or weird or strange, but the fact that it was motivation from a superhuman power. That God had filled their lives, and what they said, what they did, was because of the power of God in them, and it brought to them motivation and enthusiasm and eagerness and encouragement. All of us, I have found times in which we have said, well, I felt the Spirit led me to say what I did. Or if you've ever done anything which you felt, though lots of times we do things we feel are wrong or we haven't said the right thing, but when we've done just the right thing, or we felt that we had inspiration to say a thing when we said it at just the right time, we've often said, well, the Spirit must have led me to say that. There was something which seemed to prompt us and to guide us and to motivate us. I think the story of great people, the experiences of great Christian people across the years has been the evidence of the fact that they have not themselves done this on their own initiative, but the power of God has been in their lives. Someone tells the story of Dwight L. Moody that a rather jealous person was asking one of his helpers one day, well, does Mr. Moody have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit? And he says, no, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on Mr. Moody. And we found that this happened back there in the book of Acts, that something happened to people they had no control over, and because of that, some great power came to their lives. It led them out into a wider movement then, and Albert, tell us about it.
And now as we move down with the scriptures, we're at the fifth verse, which tells exactly in simple language what's already been described to us by Dr. Reichman. There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And of course that meant in the then known world. And here in the eighth verse, you link that together, is another statement. Tarry in Jerusalem, and there you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Notice, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in the uttermost parts of the world. So you see, Luke the historian links what happened in the upper room of the coming of the Holy Spirit with the command which had gone to them. This was the beginning of the great mission movement. But first, it had to root itself in Jerusalem. Now, in Jerusalem, out of every nation, there were men up. So this great festival, this great holy day of the Jews, and they were hearing the message to take it back. What a tremendous coincidence, shall we say? No. By God's providence, it was so. And so now, out of every nation, there are men who have heard the word to go back and share it, even as you and I must do. We come now to find that the gospel is for all, is it not, Roland?
Yes, the gospel is for all men. Remember Jesus saying in the third chapter of St. John, the 16th verse, that Albert kidded me about quoting all the time, but it is the great gospel. It's for the world. God loved the world. He didn't love just America, or he didn't love just the people of Jerusalem. He didn't love just the Hebrew. He loved all people. We're told that people from all these different places, Pontus, Cyrene, every known place in the world were there. That meant that it was for the white man, the colored man, the yellow man, the red man, the Japanese, the Chinese. It doesn't matter who you are. God died to save you, and we are to take that message for all men. This is what a common danger or a common devotion does for us. It causes us to be drawn together, and then that which we have, even as Jesus said to the disciples in the 28th chapter of Matthew, that we had to go into all nations teaching and baptizing. In the first chapter of Acts, last Sunday, we read the same thing, did we not? That first to Jerusalem, then to Judea, then to the Samaritans, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. This message and this salvation is for all of us. Don't try to limit it. Ready?
Isn't it important that the gospel of Christ is not just for the white, southern, middle-class American Protestant?
Now, wasn't that a fine passage?
Yes, it was.
Now, that's...
That was grand, Mr. Myers.
That's just the heart of it, right in there,
you know. Yeah, that's the heart of it.
Now, I'll play some more in a minute, but that's enough.
Well, sure. You know, that's nice, Mr. Myers. There's a little song that says, born of the washed in his blood, born of the Spirit washed in his blood.
Mm-hmm. And they all took it, you know, and that was the power that they received.
Well, that was what it was. And don't you think it is today? Think of these people that will give up their homes, their positions, their everything, to go to a place that they don't know anything about.
That's right.
To tell them it's the Spirit, it's the work of the Spirit.
Yeah. That's one of Miss Anna's favorites, Robert, you know, Robert Blankman.
Yes.
Yes, he is such a sweet boy. I love to be near him and give him a hug and a kiss.
Yeah.
I love young people, Lila.
Well, that's nice.
They accuse me of loving men the best.
I don't know as you do.
I said they're girls and girls. They all are pearls. They're the best things in creation.
Yes, ma'am.
But I declare, I kind of lean to the boys.
Well, that's all right. That's all right. Nothing wrong with that.
You see,
at all.
I had three brothers. I had three sons. Now raised these three grandsons here.
Mm-hmm.
I had Robert's four boys, too, for nearly 2 years.
That's right.
And Lord, they all have done so well.
Well, that's the good part about it, Miss Allen, is none of them went astray.
I said to Billy once, he was telling me that he was happy in his religion. He loves the church and goes to church.
Mm-hmm.
Got three lovely children. I said, Billy, I think you were raised in a Christian home. He said, Daddy did read the Bible to us, try to teach us.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Daddy, believe it. Mark Crystal married an Ethiopian. Oh, they're doing fine. They've got three lovely children.
Well, that's nice.
Billy's in the lottery.
Yes.
Now that he's got three of the sweetest, prettiest children.
Well, Miss Anna, let me ask you this. That young man, Harry's husband, he married again, you know.
Yes.
You told me about it.
Isn't he? Expecting a new little one in June.
Well, now. Well, how is the children, Harry's children, how are they?
Well, Marie has been sick, but she's better.
Uh-huh.
You know, she married a Persian preacher.
Yes, ma'am.
And she is a mighty fine Christian woman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they live in Dublin, Georgia.
Oh, they do.
And Harry's youngest daughter married a man that we didn't want her to marry, but she would do it. But she found that she couldn't live with him.
You told me about him.
Yes.
You told me about him.
Divorce. And she had owned a little home right close to Harry. And on the 26th of February, she was down here.
She was
she ate dinner with Fred and Jane. I mean with the
Freddie.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It was Butch's birthday.
Oh.
And Harris was so close, we asked him to come. So Daphne and her two children came. They are beautiful children and finest kind of specimens.
Well,
very
nice.
Big, fine children.
Well, Miss Anna, just about all of your folks is church people. All that I hear you talk about and all those that I know is just church people.
Yes. And, boy, Bill married a lovely Christian girl. He's in Montgomery, you know, service with the government.
Uh-huh.
And they are lovely Christian people.
Talk about those that I know. All of them is Christian folks.
Yes. I wish my own here were more Christian. I can't get them to go to church like I want them to go.
Well, you can't help it.
No, I tried to.
No,
tried to take them to Sunday school and church.
Well, that's not your fault. You did your part.
I don't know. I tried.
You know what would make people appreciate that more if they had to do without it for a while.
I believe you, Mr. Miles.
If they had to do without it for a while, they would realize.
Yes, sir.
What it
yes, sir.
Right.
You
know,
that's a good idea about it.
That
if
is
they did.
Yes, sir.
The most awful thing
yes, sir.
That we can think about is God deserting us.
Yes.
That's right.
That's what we mean by hell.
Yes, sir. A fellow wouldn't go around quibbling quite as much, you know, and finding picking fault.
That's it, Mr. Myers.
If he just had to do it out a while, it'd make
it worse.
It's just like being hungry, I think. He wouldn't pick over his victuals.
No, he'd eat what you gave him.
Yes, sir.
That's it.
Be glad to get it.
That's right.
Yes.
Oh, I declare the world is just getting so sinful now. And then what worries me so bad that, you know, they've taken prayer out of the everyday schools and things. And I think, you know, by doing that, it'll just have this country just like those other places over there.
Yeah.
They might as well take in God We Trust off the money.
Yeah, they will.
They don't trust God for nothing.
No.
They don't. What you think about it, Miss Anna?
I think it's awful lies.
I do too.
But this is one thing I know. Christ said the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church.
Well, yes, that's Christ's word. Yes, sir. But I don't know what the world people thinking about.
Oh, it's awful. The way young people are doing. Anne tells me about how the young people doing the evangelism. She told me about a young girl going into a store up there, and she went to a counter where there's some beautiful vanities, you know, the girls have.
Yes.
She picked up one, dropped it in a pocketbook.
Uh-oh.
She said, nobody saw me. And Anne said, it's awful the way these girls are shoplifting.
She thinks nobody saw her. Now, she don't know.
Yes.
Somebody did see her. Maybe just didn't report her.
I hope somebody saw her. I hope somebody will see them all. They think it gives them a thrill. A thrill.
I don't see what thrill that is. I wouldn't want it, Mr. Myers.
After you got home, every time you looked at it, you'd think about where you got it.
That's right.
If they wouldn't, God, but they don't. They say that I'm clever and I can do it again and nobody will see me.
Mm-hmm. That's so bad. That's so bad.
Anne says girls that don't even need it.
No, she didn't need it.
No. Now Anne's little girl has been going with that girl. And I beg Anne to ease off from her.